Welcome to the tax update for July 2016, and in this month's edition we look at five items, but there's an underlying theme which says that tax is complex and you should be aware that HMRC will seek to impose penalties whenever mistakes occur. I think they're being overly aggressive. But what's ongoing at the present time is the finance bill progress, and unfortunately we have 190 clauses and 25 schedules adding to the existing 22,298 pages of tax legislation. So with such length and complexity, it's actually impractical and unreasonable to believe that a self-assessment regime is appropriate. But that's exactly what we have. We've of course got a big change in government and a new Chancellor, Philip Hammond, along with a promotion by Jane Ellison. And we can expect further debate in this year's finance bill when Parliament resumes in September. The case of Terence Raine is one where I think the taxpayer, Mr. Raine, will feel injustice at having a penalty imposed on him because his return was incorrect, and the mistake occurred because his advisors had helped him set up a limited company in which he believed that he and his lifetime living partner had one share each, but in fact both shares had been registered in his name only. So when they introduced a scheme to save national insurance by the payment of dividend and a lower salary, and a dividend was paid to each of Mr. Raine and his life partner, Miss Hamilton's benefit, it didn't work. And when HMRC discovered the mistake in the shareholder registration, the couple attempted to remedy this retrospectively by changing all the returns to Companies House, but this was not acceptable. Mr. Raine, of course, signed all these returns to Companies House, as well as signing his tax return, as did Miss Hamilton. But he was found not to have taken sufficient care and to have been negligent, not reading the paperwork carefully and understanding it, with the result that HMRC imposed a 15% penalty of around £5,400. The First Tier Tribunal has found that this penalty is due, but I think that that was a bad decision. But being pragmatic, it won't be appealed, and you should remember that a decision of the First Tier Tribunal is not legal precedent, although it might be persuasive to other tribunals. On a similar note, I think HMRC deserve criticism for the mess of our current tax system, and many other countries can pre-populate returns so that all the taxpayer needs to do is check that the entries are correct. But we don't have that system, although countries like Denmark have been able to pre-populate returns since 1986. So they've been doing it for 30 years and we still can't have a system that does the same. We should be ashamed of ourselves to have such an inefficient organisation responsible for tax. Nicholas Blackman is a footballer who played for three different teams in 2012-13, and he seems to have had bad advisors because he submitted his return late in April 2014, disclosing two sources of employment income as a footballer, but omitting his first period of employment, which ended in August 2012. There's an interesting case worth a read, but basically HMRC said that it was appropriate to impose a penalty of 15% for the tax which had been lost. There are some interesting arguments about responsibility. Mr. Blackman didn't attend and therefore there wasn't evidence supporting his case, and I think that was probably a failure in presentation. But the result is that the 15% penalty was upheld, and what I think both these cases I've just mentioned illustrate is that HMRC are definitely seeking penalties more aggressively. So moving to some good news, HMRC have just published a statutory instrument confirming a limited income tax exemption from 2 days before and 2 days after for the London Anniversary Games, which were held on the 22nd and 23rd July. And in addition, it's also giving an income tax exemption for the 2017 World Athletic Championships, similarly covering 2 days before the first event to 2 days after the second event. And that will be in July 2017. Also, good news in Mr. Bayliss's case was that the taxpayer used an avoidance scheme to try and avoid capital gains by artificially creating a capital loss of $539,000 to be set against his real capital gains. I've set out in the notes some of the detail of how a contract for difference works, and that's just to illustrate how complex and convoluted it is, because of course from a tax perspective it was artificial and the scheme did not work, and consequently the returns that Mr. Bayliss made were incorrect. But HMRC then sought a 35% penalty, accusing Mr. Bayliss of negligence under the old penalty regime of Section 95 of the Taxes Management Act. Now, any student of law knows that you cannot be held to be negligent if you made a mistake in completing a complex or interpreting complex legislation. And in this particular instance, Mr. Bayliss had relied upon his advisors. But interestingly, what he did do was sign a declaration that he was a sophisticated investor in relation to contracts for difference. But it subsequently became clear he didn't even know what it was he was signing, or indeed what a contract for difference was. The scheme failed, and the good news is that the tribunal ruled he'd not been negligent, and therefore the penalty was not imposed, but he had to pay a lot more tax than he first thought. So I think there are lessons to be learnt, and that is that HMRC now seek aggressively, so just seek penalties aggressively. So just to finish, HMRC have published a list of schemes, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, and you can find the links for further research, which I would recommend you have a look to see the avoidance schemes which HMRC think do not work. Thanks very much for listening.